The ministry of the word this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, from Luke chapter 8, verse 18. In connection with that, I'd like to read together with you around that verse, starting at Luke 8, verse 4, and reading to the end of verse 21. Luke 8, starting at verse 4, let's listen to God's holy word. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, that is Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." It's as far as we'll read in Luke chapter 8 at this time. Again, our focus is going to be on verse 18. "Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, many of us have heard the parable of the sower as it's listed here in the ESV, it's the title that you have above it. We're familiar perhaps with the different seed falling in different locations and having different results. The path, the rocky or shallow ground, the thorns, and the good soil. The path, the seeds are eaten up by the birds. The rocky soil, it springs up, but it dies out pretty quickly. The thorns choke the other seed. And of course, the good seed bearing fruit. And what we usually hear concerning that parable is that God's word has different reactions. People react to it in different ways. Not everybody hears the gospel preached and is saved and believes. And we can say, well, sow that seed all over and see what the Lord does with it. See if he works with it or not. And that's well and good. But what we don't often think about this parable of the sower is that it addresses directly one thing in particular: our ability to hear. In some ways, when the ESV puts that title above it, the parable of the sower, it can actually draw our attention and our focus away from this main message of this parable to more focusing on the sower himself. But Jesus, he is the one that really wants to focus in on the hearing aspect. Instead, we could probably call it, as I've heard a few other people call it, and even your own pastor has called it this, the parable of the soils. Because what Jesus ends up saying in our text, verse 18, is to take care then how you hear. And the difference between the soils is really how the different soils are hearing. The word hear is repeated for each soil that has gone through. Verse 12, the ones along the path, it says, are those who have heard. And then it goes on. Verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word. Verse 14 has it too, and verse 15 as well. The word hear coming up over and over again, that's the difference between the soils, with Jesus finally saying in our text, take care then how you hear. This isn't just a message about the sower, as beautiful and gracious and glorious as the sower is for giving us the seed. This isn't even necessarily about the seed itself, as beautiful and glorious the seed is. It is about how we respond to the seed, how we hear it even, how we listen to it. That's really the challenge that this parable comes to us with. It's one of the challenges we as a congregation in Kerwood wanted to address as we entered another home visit season and we looked at this text together. It's the challenge that we get to face this afternoon as well. Are we hearing the way that God wants us to hear? How am I hearing the word? And so we're going to look at this passage then under that theme, take care then how you hear. And I really want to answer three questions about this passage. First of all, what is it that we're hearing? And second of all, what does bad hearing look like? And thirdly, what does good hearing look like? Or how should we try to hear well? So those three questions. We'll start, first of all, with what is it that we're hearing? What is this seed that is being sown that gets heard all the time? The simple answer to that is in verse 11 of chapter 8, when Jesus begins explaining, this is the parable, the seed is the word of God that's being sown, and people hear it in different ways. But the deeper question to that is, well, what is this word of God? What does Jesus mean when he says word of God? We usually think of it in terms of the Bible. We have the Bible with its 66 books sitting in front of us, and we know that this is the word of God. We call it the word of God all the time. But of course, when Jesus said the seed is the word of God, there were not 66 books in the Bible at that time. He was working with the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written about him yet. And so perhaps you could say, well, he's talking about the Old Testament, the books of the 39 books that came from to us before Christ. And yet if you look throughout the scriptures, including the Gospel of Luke, and if you follow Luke's writings into the book of Acts and look at for that phrase, word of God, you find out that there's a little bit more to it than that. Back in Luke chapter 3, verse 2, John the Baptist is on the scene, and he is preaching the word of God. It came to him in the wilderness. And he went into all that region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The word of God is like this moving of the Holy Spirit in John's heart so that he speaks the message that God has for the people in that day. That was the word of God for him. And in Luke 5, verse 1, the people are said to be pressing around Jesus in order to hear the word of God from him. In other words, he has a message from God for the people. And you can go on into the book of Acts. Peter, his main Pentecost sermon, is talked about as people hearing the word of God. And when they hear the word of God from Peter, they respond. They're cut to the heart. And later on, the believers are persecuted for proclaiming the word of God. That wasn't just the Old Testament that they were talking about. They were talking about this message from God about Jesus Christ. And in fact, the whole Old Testament speaks about Jesus Christ ultimately, although people didn't always know it at the time of Jesus. And so we can fill this out a little bit more with one final passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, which speaks about the Apostle Paul going out among the different cities, and he went to the church in Thessalonica as well and preached there. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he says this about that time when he preached to them. He says, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." In this sense, the word of God was especially the message the apostles brought that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah that everybody had been waiting for. This man who in his death was crucified but then rose from the dead, that when that actually happened, something special in history was going down. There was a change going on. Death was not what it used to be anymore. God has a message for his people that death has been conquered. And really, the whole book of Acts is an example of people hearing that message from the apostles and responding to it in different ways, like the different soils. The message about Jesus Christ. The message of him coming into this world and being the true Messiah who brings a change. So when we think about the call to take care how we hear, in other words, examine it, pay attention to it, we have to realize that this is talking about, yes, how we listen to the Bible, but also how we listen to the preaching of the message of the Bible, how we listen when God calls us to do something and calls us ultimately to respond to the good news about Jesus Christ. All of this falls within the range of what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower when he asks us to take care when we listen to the word of God. Take care how we hear. And it's important that we take care how we hear of this word of God because the scripture tells us it's a powerful word. Hebrews 4 verse 8 says it's living and active. Isaiah 55 says that it's rich food, and it calls out that we should incline our ears and come that our souls may live when we hear the word of God. Psalm 19 says it revives the soul. It really can do incredible things, this word of God. There's life in it. There's healing in it. There's refreshment in it. Jesus Christ himself is the word made flesh, and in him is life itself. And if we think of the word in that way, then we should be eager to take in this word, to hear it for all that it is. Sometimes when we're going through difficulties, we can be advised to just let the word of God do its work. You know, listen to it, let it do its work. Make sure you're listening to the preaching, show up regularly, and the word of God will do its work. And that's I'm not going to deny that. That is very true. And that is a beautiful comfort. God works through his word, even when we're not even doing the right things. But there's also another aspect to this. If the word of God is powerful, if it does do wondrous things, then if that word is not fixing things, if it's not bringing people back together, reconciling people, if it's not working in people's hearts to grow them in holiness before God, then either it's not the actual word of God being read and proclaimed and worked with, or those who are hearing it are not taking care how they hear. And it's worth asking ourselves then this afternoon, how am I really hearing or listening to the word of God? Jesus says, take care, pay attention, check, look at, examine. And so we're going to look then at the next question. What does bad hearing look like to help fill us out in this challenge that Jesus has for us in this passage? What does bad hearing look like? Well, to answer that question, we can look at the four different soils, first of all. The first three especially. The seed that falls along the path is the first one. Jesus explains in verse 12 that when people hear this word, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. These are people that hear the gospel, hear the message of salvation, but it doesn't actually sit at all in their hearts. They end up rejecting Jesus outright. They reject God outright. They may never want anything to do with the Bible, and they refuse to see it as a special divine message from the creator of this world. And every human being has to take care how they hear to make sure that they don't outrightly reject Jesus, outrightly reject his gospel by grace alone. And yet so many do. And although you could try to blame it on the devil, after all, he is mentioned here as the one who comes and takes away the word, this is all still part of our human tendency to not think we need God. That is, after all, the gospel is that God has come down and done these things for us. God has worked salvation through Jesus Christ. And so often in our heart of hearts, we want to just outrightly reject that somebody else is going to do the things for us. We want to do something ourselves. And so we can be at fault for being such a hard path of soil that allows the bird, the devil, to pick it up, rather than being so soft of soil so that seed takes root. Jesus says, take care how you hear. Don't be the path. Allow the gospel to penetrate into your heart so that you can grow from it. For if you harden your heart in any sort of way, what a dangerous place that is. If you think about this, we often think, okay, outright rejection of the gospel, that's not something I'm going to be. I've been going to church. I listen to the Bible. I try to allow it to change me at different points in my life. And yet, if you talk to the people in the crowds that Jesus is talking about, these people who he references will be seeing but not actually see, and be hearing but not actually understanding, there are all kinds of people that he's talking to that know the Bible, that have been studying the Bible. Some of them are even experts in the Bible. But when the word of God comes about the message of salvation about Jesus, that is actually him. He is the one that's going to do things in your place as a suffering servant. Then that message gets rejected by these people that seem to, on the surface of things, love the Bible, love the commands of God. So we have to always make sure that our hearts are indeed vulnerable to the message of the scriptures, that our ears are taking it in, not rejecting that gospel message, the heart of it. The second soil, we move on from the path, we go to the rock, the rocky soil. The ones on the rock are those who, verse 13, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, But these have no root. They believe for a while, in time of testing, fall away. These are people that for a time think they actually believe. They say so. They have joy. But their commitment level is where things change. It's not that deep. The seed hasn't really taken deep root within them. Over time, when it's time for their faith to start bearing fruit, they're at a point of frustration, a point of turmoil, a point of pain, and it can be hard to listen to the word at that point anymore. They were interested when it benefited them, but now that the going is tough, the lack of fruit shows how little they truly heard the message of grace and truth. How often don't we have that struggle when we're going through difficulty? Well, you know, I know the word of God is supposed to carry me through this, but I just don't want to hear it right now. We have to take care how we hear, that we may trust this word through all circumstances and allow it to take deep root, a commitment through all of life's difficulties. The third soil, verse 14, the last one of the negative soils, the thorns. They are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. People hear the word, they like it, they start to grow, but there's these other things in their lives. They have these other desires that they also like. And when asked to give them up because they're starting to compete with the kingdom service with God, for God, they run into troubles. They have these desires for the things of this world. They need that food. They need that money. They need that entertainment. They need that TV show, that sport, that game, that app, that sexual satisfaction, that feeling of accomplishment, that success. They need the jolt that they can get from that certain thing. And when the going gets tough, instead of turning to God and seeing that faith actually gets stronger and produces more fruit when we turn to Him in times of difficulty, the heat of the sun, instead, with the soil among thorns, we get choked out. Because we're clinging to the thorns instead, which saps the life out of us. Think about it for yourself. How often don't the ways that we deal with pressure and difficulty actually end up hurting us more in the end if we're not turning to God, but instead turning to our favorite things to comfort us? You think of that song from The Sound of Music. When I'm feeling down, I simply think of a few of my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. But the things of this world, our favorite things, will choke us in the end. We need God Himself. We need Jesus Christ. We need to turn to Him in those times. That's when we truly grow and bear fruit. We need the message from God of how we are safe and secure with Him. That alone carries us in the heat of our lives. Those are the three soils then that display a bad hearing of the word. But there's one more example yet in our passage of bad hearing. And it actually comes in verses 16 and 17, right before verse 18. It talks about people taking this light that they have and they're to shine it, to hold it out. In other words, take the good seed, the crop, the fruit, and make it known to the world, that gospel. It's really part of the fruit of these seeds. When you hear it well, you're going to shine that gospel out in your deeds, in your words. That's what we ought to do. That's living it out. And that's why Jesus says, right after that in verse 18, to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Those that hear the gospel and take it in and start responding to it and bearing fruit with it, that will just continue to snowball. It'll get better. They'll continue to grow. And they'll be able to go through those difficulties in life. And that will stir up more fruit in them. But those that hear poorly, they're going to struggle. In fact, the light of the gospel that could have shone in their heart will be gone completely. No fruit. So then, all these examples of bad hearing. The time is to examine our own lives and ask ourselves those questions. Am I listening for what God is calling me to listen to? Which soil am I most naturally closest to? Am I eager to come to church? Not because this is what I do, but because I know that God Himself is going to be speaking to me through His servant and through His word. Are you excited to study these scriptures so that you'll understand it better, so that God will be able to guide you in the coming week when you think back to what He said to you? We have to admit that naturally we struggle with these things. We give thanks, though, that God can give us His Spirit to change this. But with our sinful nature still there, we need to continue to fight by the power of the Spirit the tendencies to bad hearing that we can have. How can you do better yourself in hearing if you're to take care how to hear? The author Christopher Ash has a little book called Listen Up, in which he gives several tips on how to listen better, to take care how you listen. He uses this text actually as a platform to jump off of and get into details of better ways of listening. And he explains that too often we're coming to the sermon looking for the minister to be the one to make the difference with whether or not, you know, he had a good week that week or is having a good day that day. But often we're not looking at how we are listening ourselves. He mentions the fact that there are so many different books written and ministers study them over and over again in seminary and beyond seminary about how to preach well. But there are very few books on how we ought to listen well. We don't often examine whether we've been doing that job well. He mentions, Christopher Ash does as well, how sometimes we can come with a critical spirit, writing off the minister because he's had bad sermons in the past. Or maybe we come in trying to say, I got to find some things that are good about the sermon and some things that are negative about the sermon, almost as if we're doing a sermon review ourselves, rather than listening for the actual way in which God is either trying to teach us something about Himself from a passage or is trying to teach us something about how we're to live before Him. Well, we ought to be listening for what is it that points to Jesus Christ in this? What is it that the minister is saying that is so glorious about Jesus Christ that I realize my need for Him once again and desire to live for Him once again? Are we coming expecting God to be at work through this? Because we can easily come eager to just justify ourselves and make sure, oh, yeah, I am living the right way. But God calls us to lay our lives bare before Him, being eager to have Him convict us, change us, shape us differently than what we are now. What are we looking for? For information? For life tips? Are we looking to see the glory of Jesus Christ and to reflect Him in our lives? The Word of God will have a great effect in your life, but we need to take care how we hear it as well. We rejoice in the fact that it is 100% God's grace when we do hear, when the sower does allow us to be this soil. But we're also called by Jesus Christ here to take responsibility for the soil that we are presenting ourselves to be, to not listen badly. And so we move from the negative examples to our third question, which is, what does good hearing look like? How should I hear? And for that, there's just two portions of this passage that I'm going to look at. First, verse 15, and then verse 21. First of all, verse 15, the good soil. It says there, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And you can notice, first of all, in that verse, verse 15, that there's a heart there that is good and honest or noble. It's a heart that wants what is right. It wants what is good. It doesn't get its back up against God's word. It doesn't try to argue with God's word, but it takes it in, knowing that God's word is right for it. And second of all, notice that it holds this word fast. The old English word for that was cleave. It's committed. It's clinging to. It's not letting it go. And that's kind of captured in that fact that it bears fruit with patience or perseverance. Again, through the difficulties of life that we face, through the distractions that the pleasures of this world offer, the true hearer is clinging to that gospel message all the time. Clinging to the fact that they are sinful and they deceive themselves, they fool themselves all the time, but they can only find their help in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so they believe in him, they follow him, even in difficult times, when it's difficult to know what it is God wants them to do, when it's difficult to know for certain what would be wisest to do, they don't make a decision and say, well, now I figured it out. No, they humbly open God's word and allow him to direct them over and over again. I think also in the controversies and discussions and disagreements that we can have in the present day, it's not easy to know the wisest things to do all the time. But the hearer, the true hearer of the word, holds it fast. They're committed to it. They're committed to looking at it with an honest and good heart over and over again. God equips them with the patience they need. This is the good soil of verse 15. And in that holding fast, we can also think of whether or not we are holding fast to the word of God the way that we ought to. Sometimes it can feel like we hold fast to it while we're here in the church building, but then Monday comes, and what was it again that the minister said? What was the sermon about again? How often don't we get further on, and it can be difficult for us to really be holding fast to the word that was preached? Again, there's ways in which we can, if we know that we're struggling to hold fast to that word so that we can work with it consistently through our lives, maybe we need to write it down. Maybe we need to have a system in place to remind ourselves, a prayer journal, a journal on what we've grown from in the preaching. Maybe you do that by taking notes in the sermon. Maybe you do that by writing something down at the end of the day about the sermon so that God's word can go with you, so you can hold fast to it through all life circumstances, so that you can work with it. You can challenge yourself with it. What is it that God wanted me to work on this week? What is it that God wanted me to know about him and keep in mind about him this week? Holding fast with an honest and good heart to the word of God. That's the first way of good hearing, hearing well. Then we turn to verse 21. This is following the parable, but again, that word hear comes up. Jesus, with his mothers and brothers at the door, and he says, my mother, my true mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. In other words, there's a response. There's just, this is, you change, you do the word. There's a true reformation. There's a true changing of heart. Christians are never at a point where they've reached the knowledge and they've reached the behavior standards that they need. And now they only have to come simply to be reminded over and over again to keep doing what they're doing, to keep believing what they're believing. If that's what we think, then we've got our definition of sin all wrong, because as good Reformed Christians, we know we are sinful, we are deceptive, our sinful nature is not completely gone, it continues, it doesn't cease to attack us. No, we need to keep hearing God's word so that we can do it, so that it really changes us, and not just our outward actions, our desires, our wants too. There's always room for us to grow, to change, to have a deeper appreciation of what God has done for us, a deeper appreciation of how much we fall short. The Christian life is to keep growing in our love for God and for what he's done for us. Let's listen then to God's word so that it can be our guide through difficult times. It can bring a great effect, a great change, a great transformation in our lives. But if we don't actually pay attention to how we hear it, if we don't let it change us, if we don't let the fruit of the Spirit work in us, God's word will be falling on that path, or it'll be falling on that rock, or among those thorns. Again, we should not forget that in this too, we depend on God fully. He after all, is the sower. He is the one who determines where the seed will bear fruit. He alone is the one that can make it grow to produce a crop that is big and bountiful, bright and wondrous. But we know as well that we are held responsible when it doesn't work. It's 100% God's credit when it produces, but 100% man's responsibility when it does not. So hear God's call this afternoon to take care how you listen. And look to the word Jesus Christ. Look to the Holy Spirit to be opening up your eyes to that word. Pray to him to give you that softness of heart. To be humble about yourself and boasting about God and his greatness. His Holy Spirit, his salvation. It is the word of God. It stands forever. Or as Jesus put it later in the Gospel of Luke, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This word of God continues to go out. It continues to do wonderful, powerful things. So pay attention to how you listen to it, and rejoice. Give thanks for the way in which God has worked in the past, and in the future rejoice as well when God will work through it to produce even greater fruit in you. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we acknowledge that you are the great sower. We know that Jesus Christ is the true word that you plant in people's hearts. And Father, we pray that you will, by your Holy Spirit, work in each of us, that we may more and more be good soil, that we may prepare our hearts each Sunday again to receive your word and work with it. And Father, we pray that we may work with it not only on Sundays, but each and every day again, that we may not only just work with the passage that is preached on, but also continue to delve into the rest of your word regularly, that it may more and more shape us. Father, we admit our struggles with this. We admit that we can for years sometimes be listening but not understanding. There can be times where we think we've got it for a while and then later on we realize we've been missing out on so much. So we pray, Father, that you will Indeed, show your power. Show the life that is in your word by continuing to reveal to us the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. His awesome willingness to lay down his life so that we in our struggles and our weakness might have our sins paid for, might have our righteousness shown in Jesus Christ. So we pray, Father, that you will guide us and give us strength for this. And we pray that you will work this gospel message not only in our hearts here this afternoon, but that you will work it in many hearts as your gospel goes out throughout the world on this day. And Father, there are works being done, preachers preaching, there are missionaries at work as well across this globe, continuing to spread this special message of repentance in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that is in him. We pray then, Father, that as the apostles went out from city to city and saw the gospel bearing fruit, that work may continue to bear fruit here and throughout this world. We pray for your blessing upon especially the mission work that we continue to care for in the United Reformed Churches, and specifically the work in Mexico with Reverend Matt Van Dyken and the church plant there. And Father, we do give thanks that they can worship in many ways again, and you've carried them through the latest wave. We thank you as well that there can be office bearers in the church, and we pray for your blessing upon the new elder and the new deacon, that they will receive the strength that they need from you to do their tasks well and care for the work that you have given them. And Father, we pray that you will bless that work that goes on there. Give the pastor strength to continue in the work faithfully. Grant that the congregation, the church, the members there may be able to have opportunities of refreshment and fellowship that they so need. Father, we also continue to pray that you will watch over this difficult situation in Haiti with the kidnapping of missionaries or the mission service trip. Father, we find it hard to imagine a society, a country that is so full of corruption that these things can happen. And Father, we pray for these people in particular that if it be your will, you will grant a resolution that would allow them to be able to be safe once again. And Father, we pray too that you will work in such a way that not only these people who are doing these terrible things, that they would be changed in their hearts to realize the wrong that they are doing, but that the society as a whole may turn more and more to your word and see in it the need for justice, the need for service, the need for supporting one another in community. And Father, we ask that you will work in the way that only you can, to bring restoration in Haiti and across this world in the countries where there is so much corruption in government and corruption in power. Father, we pray that in this way, you will continue to hasten the day where we will see the true King come to take his believers to be with himself and establish the fullness and perfection of your kingdom. Bring that day soon where we will see Jesus Christ riding on the clouds and bow our knee to him in awesome praise. Hear us, we ask it, only through him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.